And joining me now in the studio is our gardening expert, Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, this week I'd love to talk about something that's slightly spicy, maybe minty, a little bit sweet, and such a specific taste of summer. Of course, I'm talking about basil. And we'd love to know the different types we can grow, the best ways to grow it too.
Yes. First of all, it's too early to plant your basil. I just want to get that out there so people don't get the idea we should be planting now. But basil is something that has a lot of diversity to it and a lot of different uses for it and a lot of different ways to grow it that people may not be familiar with. So let me talk a little bit about basil. First of all, different varieties. There, of course, is the classic Genovese basil, the Italian basil that people make pesto out of. There's a new version out that this year, an AAS winning version variety called Treviso. And Treviso has very good powdery mildew resistance. Of course, there's a Thai basils like Siam Queen. If you like that anise or licorice flavor, this is a really nice one to grow. There's cinnamon basil, which most people aren't that familiar with, has much more of a savory flavor to it. It can be used for baking, it can be used in drinks, it can be used in a lot of different ways. There, of course, is lemon and lime basil, very refreshing burst of exuberance kind of basil. You can make a pesto out of that, or of course, just make it for drinks. It's really nice to have. And then there's holy basil or Tulsi basil, which has a lot of medicinal properties to it and can be used in cooking as well. How you want to grow it is right now you can plant it, but indoors. You can get a 4-inch or 6-inch pot and put, 10, 15 seeds in there, let them grow up together. And then once they're big enough, you can divide them out. Basil lends itself to dividing out that way pretty easily. Pop them in the garden probably a month from now. So that would be more like Memorial Day, even into early June in the mountain areas. You don't want to rush them because they like a lot of heat. Pop them in the garden as one big group or with some other herbs, or you can use them in special places like around your tomatoes to ward off the tomato hornworm. That is a companion planting scheme that seems to work very well. Some of the basils, you might want to plant extra ones just to let them flower because they're great pollinator plants. They're in that mint family, which is all great pollinator plants. And of course, as they're starting to grow, when they're small, you can start pinching the tops, especially if you want to make a lot of pesto out of them. And that will help them branch out. And when you harvest them, you want to harvest the whole stem, not just individual leaves, because what that does is it stimulates more stem growth. And if you have bigger stems, you end up having bigger leaves longer into the season. It's a beautiful plant to have out there. It's nice just to walk by, to rub the leaves and sniff a little bit of it just to get a smell of summer.
Oh, I can't wait. Got a couple of questions for you, Charlie. This first one from Sasha in Williston. Sasha writes, I am hoping for clarification on no-dig gardening. I have raised beds that seem to grow some lichen, moss, and a few low weeds in the off-season. Should I be removing or turning over the soil when I amend it in spring, or just plant my starters without weeding and turning over the soil?
Yeah, so if it's in full sun, that's a good sign. The other reason you might be having those lichens and moss growing is because it's too wet. So it might be a really heavy soil, and maybe what's happened over time is that the soil has compacted. So what I would suggest doing is scraping off that top layer of the soil, removing the moss and the lichens and those low weeds, and then start building your no-dig bed back up again. So using a lot of organic material, using things like untreated grass clippings, chopped up leaves or chopped up hay or straw. The other thing you might want to do is get a broad fork or just an iron fork and stick it into that soil after you scrape off all the moss that's there and just rock it back and forth. You're opening it up, so you're creating some drainage holes in there, and then adding that organic matter will help open it up a little bit more. And hopefully that all those two things will benefit you so your garden will look even better and grow even better produce for you.
Okay. Here's another question from Stephanie, who wrote in to say, I'm hoping Charlie can help this flatlander. Even though I've been here for a year and a half, I have hydrangeas at my house, but I have no idea what kind they are, so I'm not sure when to prune them.
Thank you, Stephanie, for sending a picture, because that clarified it immediately for me. You have what we call hydrangea arborescens, and it looks like they might be those Invincible or Invincible hydrangeas. They have the dead flowers still on them, so that's a key that you know that they bloom on the new wood. So the time to prune those will be right now, and you can prune them down to the ground if you want, but I normally prune those down to about a foot or two tall because those stems will be nice and sturdy, and when you get the new growth that ends in a flower, it won't flop over so much. So go ahead and give them a good haircut.
Okay, if you have questions, send them to gardening@vermontpublic.org and listen to this wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.